Okay, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Yes, everyone's wide awake. Thank you. Thank you for coming along for an early morning session. We really appreciate it. In this session, we want to talk about some of the things you can do to switch from the other guys, which seems to be a recurring term now, switch from the other guys to Hyper-V. My name is Matt McSpirit. I'm one of our technical product managers in the Windows Server and System Center team, and I'm joined by Mark.
Hi, Mark Austin, a.k.a. Migration Mark. And I've been working on migrating from They Who Shall Not Be Named for about a year and a half now. So we'll be talking about our experiences along the way.
So this session is really themed around helping you understand some of the options that are provided by Microsoft. And we'll also discuss some of the third-party options as well for helping you, if you choose to do so, to shift from a VMware infrastructure to a Microsoft infrastructure, and some of the tools and processes and experiences you can expect as part of that. Now, we're going to focus on a number of key areas as part of the session. We'll take a brief look at some of the people who've done this. Now, what have their experiences been, and why have they done it? Some of the big names that Brad talked about, but some of the names that you may be familiar with but didn't know that they'd actually been part of a switching process. We'll look at some of the migration options that are core within System Center. So if you've got an investment in System Center today, you've already got some tools that you could actually build upon and use to migrate infrastructure, not just from virtual to virtual, so from VMware to Microsoft, but also physical to virtual as well, if you're still just starting your virtualization journey. We'll then look specifically at the MVMC, the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, which is a free tool that allows you to convert VMware virtual machines to Microsoft virtual machines. And we'll do a demonstration and explain some of the key capabilities around that particular product. And then we'll showcase how we scale, hence the little icon there, we scale that out beyond just single virtual machines at a time and allow you to automate a lot more of this process to convert the virtual machines more quickly to achieve your goal. And then finally, we'll wrap up with some discussion around some of the other options and summary and Q&A. We'll open up the floor and we can talk about some of the different experiences that you can expect to see. So, who has started the migration? Who's migrated that we can talk about publicly? Well, there are organizations like Pella. Pella were a big name that we talked about last year at MMS and at TechEd as well last year. And they're coincidentally, they share a lot of, technology development with Microsoft in the sense that they also make Windows. But their Windows are a little bit different, Windows and Doors versus ours. Yeah, bad joke. It doesn't get any worse than that, I promise you.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. But with for Pella, they shifted and they used some of the toolkits that we make available. They use those toolkits to migrate a number of virtual machines with a partner helping them along the way in a relatively short space of time. But the reasoning, aside from cost, which was a driving factor for them, but they also saw System Center as a key attraction for them to help them not only manage their virtualized infrastructure, but go beyond just managing that, and managing their key applications and workloads as part of their broader ecosystem. So it enabled them to do a lot more with the management tools on the Microsoft side. Then we see organizations like Domino's, who have switched a considerable number of servers within their stores to Hyper-V to increase reliability and performance from what they had before, and they're again taking advantage of the System Center management tools to better manage that infrastructure across a small number of people, but a vast array of stores and servers. So again, System Center is a driving factor for them. We look at someone like Apartments.com. They're looking to stay competitive in their own business. You know, they've got a competitive ecosystem where they need to innovate quickly and provide their development teams with an environment that they can rapidly innovate new systems to drive their business forward. And System Center with Hyper-V enabled them to be more flexible and deploy those environments more quickly. And if anyone was in the session last night I did around integrating with things like Visual Studio and System Center, they're fantastic ways to spin up new development environments for your devs to quickly innovate and build new applications and services. And Apartments.com found the cost advantage of Microsoft and the platform very attractive as well. And then finally, Acer, who are rolling out Windows Server 2012 and Hyper-V across a broad set of their data centers, and they're seeing massive savings in cost annually, and again, utilizing some of the System Center tools to better manage their infrastructure. So there's a couple of key themes there. People are switching because of cost. But is somebody going to switch halfway through an enterprise agreement with VMware? You know, it's not likely to be the most common scenario. People are starting to evaluate different technologies, different hypervisors, different management stacks, typically at renewal times for different applications and different platforms on the VMware side. So coming to the end of a renewal, you think, okay, do I now investigate what else is out there to choose? Let's look at Hyper-V in 2012. Let's look at System Center. Let's look at some of the other alternatives. People are looking at things like OpenStack and Zen Server, and there's lots of choice. But these organizations are choosing Microsoft because of that cost advantage, because of that integration from the management side, and what they can achieve with those management tools. But what migration options do you have within System Center? There are a number of things you can choose from to help you migrate your workloads across to a Hyper-V infrastructure. Now, if you've just started with virtualization, or you're just getting on that road and you've still got a lot of physical infrastructure, System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which is part of System Center 2012 SP1, provides capability in the box to do physical to virtual conversion. So I can point my VMM server at the particular physical server that I want to convert, give it a few options, make a few selections around disks and network configuration, and within a couple of clicks and a bit of information, I can be on my way converting physical servers into virtual machines. And there's nothing stopping me using that P2V wizard for a VMware virtual machine. It's still an OS. We're converting the OS at the end of the day. We're not converting the hardware. So we can convert VMware virtual machines using P2V. But VMM also provides capability for V2V. Now, the wizard starts off and says, you know, we can convert from other virtualization technologies to Microsoft, but it will only accept VMware VMDKs. That's the only choice you'll have. But it will allow you to select VMware virtual machines from VMM's library. So you could have stored them in VMM's library share, where you can then convert them. Or it can convert them from their locations on the host. But the VM should be off, and they should have the VMware tools removed in advance. Now, you can do it after the fact, but it's best practice to remove those tools firsthand. But it's very, very easy. I choose a few settings associated with CPU, memory, disk, network, associated with my target virtual machine that I want to end up with. And within a few clicks, I'm choosing the designated host that I want to deploy this virtual machine onto once the conversion is finished. And you can see here that this particular Hyper-V host is a good candidate for the deployment. It's not giving me many stars for my existing vSphere host because this is going to be a Hyper-V VM. So it's not going to give me a high star rating to put it on a vSphere host in this case. We select the network, we make configuration changes there, and to map our existing network configuration from the VMware side into the Microsoft side. So there's an element of prerequisite configuration needed within your environment to have your networks defined already that you're going to bring these new VMs into. But the nice thing at the end of all of the VMM wizards that we see throughout Virtual Machine Manager is this little view script button in the corner, in the bottom right of the wizard. And when you click that, you open up the PowerShell script that VMM is going to execute behind the scenes that I could actually start to reuse, learn from, build upon, and start to automate the process in a little bit more of a granular way. So that's really helpful if you're just getting started with some of this automation of these key tasks. But if you really want to start to drive the next level of automation and harness some of the other tools within System Center, that's where Orchestrator comes in. And we saw in the keynote how Michael did a demonstration of scaling out particular tiers of services to Azure and to on-premise private clouds. But in this example, this runbook highlights what we can build with Orchestrator to help orchestrate that process of V2V conversion. So you can build very granular configuration runbooks that help you move from one place to another. And we've got partners throughout the world who are building these kind of runbooks to help organizations, to help their customers migrate very quickly. So by establishing that VMM and Orchestrator combination, they can then orchestrate through powerful runbooks the conversion from one to another. So Orchestrator will go out and talk to vCenter and collect all of the information about the virtual machines that are on the target vSphere host. And once it's got that information, it can start processing and running these runbooks to handle the conversion, using VMM's V2V engine to actually do the conversion and place the VMs appropriately on the target hosts. So there's a lot of stuff you can do just getting started with core System Center tools. So VMM and Orchestrator within System Center 2012 SP1. So it's a great opportunity there. But that brings us to the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter. Because what if you don't have System Center yet? What if you've not got VMM? What if you've not got a latest version? What if you've not got Orchestrator? Can I still start to convert virtual machines from A to B, from vSphere to Hyper-V? And the answer is absolutely. And Microsoft make a free tool available on the web, along with the accompanying documentation on TechNet, that you can download and start to convert your VMware virtual machines to Microsoft virtual machines. Now, this process isn't destructive. It's not going to destroy the source. So if you're just interested in testing a few of your key workloads and applications in the Hyper-V virtualized environment, and you want to take it from a starting point of your existing VMs, then you can do that. And it will convert them relatively quickly over from one to the other. Now, before we explain all of the capabilities and some of the key features, I thought it'd be a good chance to start to show some of this technology to you to see, to make it fit and understand a little bit more about it. So with that, I'll hand over to Mark, and Mark's going to take us through a little demonstration of the MVNC in action.
And just out of curiosity, show of hands, how many of you have heard of the MVNC? So a wide majority. How many have used it? So, all right.
Less.
Less, but that's okay.
That's okay.
Good. If everyone had used it, this would be boring. So what I've got here is the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter Wizard. So the Microsoft Virtual, the MVMC, basically can be run in one of two ways: off the command line, as an exe, or through the full user interface. So we'll walk through the UI here to show you what it can do. And you see, the first thing it does is it tells you a little bit about where you can get your VMs from. So it needs to be one of the ones in the list. You can make that go away so you never have to see it again. And then it's going to ask you for some information about your vCenter environment. So it wants to know whether you're talking to the vCenter server itself or an ESX host. It needs to know who to connect as and where that's located. And what it's going to do then is go out and enumerate all of the VMs that are out there, and then it'll show you whether or not they're applicable for conversion based on some criteria. So you can see there I've got an incredibly complex password. It's unhackable. All right, so here's the list that we got back from our environment. So there's a couple you see in the list that have some little blue informational signs, and those are a sign to us that that's not going to be a supported machine to convert. In fact, I can't click next by choosing it. But there's lots of other ones here that I could. So things that aren't going to be supported, that sense system, for example, a template, not a VM. This has no VMware tools on it. As you can see, it's labeled as such. So there's a couple things it needs to do in order to figure that out. So it needs to be manageable by VMware, hence the requirement for tools. If we can't talk to vCenter and have it talk to the server through, or the guest through tools, this won't know about it. So that's the obvious requirement there.
So that's slightly different from what we talked about before, because when VMM does its conversion, mm-hmm. it doesn't require those tools, hence that requirement to remove them.
In fact, it's even better if you don't have tools and you go to V2V. So, yeah. So one of the things that this does that's apart from V2V is that this will actually go and remove VMware tools as one of the steps along the way. And if I click one of these, click next, it's going to ask me next about some particulars about this machine. So the first thing that it's going to do is go out and talk to the machine, make sure that it's alive. So it needs to be accessible via WMI. And it's going to log in with these credentials, and then it's going to uninstall VMware tools. Well, actually, back up. It's going to take a snapshot. So the first thing it does is take a snapshot to make sure that if anything goes wrong, your VM's still snapshotted, so we can always revert back to that. So that'd be the very first thing that it does. But after that, it's going to remove the VMware tools. Once they're gone, it'll then, it actually does an OVF export. But essentially, it spits out the disk to the Hyper-V side, and you'll see that in the next, if I click forward here. Oh, and we've got some state options there. So how do we want this machine to look and on the VMware side and on the Hyper-V side? So it can be on in both, it can be off in both, it can be on in one and off in the other. And this is at the end of the conversion. What state do you want? So if you wanted to turn them both on for some crazy reason, you could do that. But generally, you wouldn't. So those are the wrong credentials. Forced to type my password again. If I type that wrong, it's all over. Okay, so it was actually nice enough to verify, obviously, that was right. So it keeps you from putting in the wrong credentials here. The next thing it's going to want to know is where to put this VM in terms of the conversion itself. So it needs to, during that OVF export, it's going to copy those files out to, well, we can specify, but this Hyper-V host, right? This DVM temp or wherever you want it to go. And it's going to buffer those there so that it can actually do the conversion, the disk geometry conversion, to turn those into VHDs.
So you need a decent amount of space for that repository based on.
Well, yeah, I mean, going through,
disk and
going through the UI here, yeah, I need to be able to hold the one that's coming over, certainly. So
yeah.
At least big enough to store the one, maybe twice. And then I need to give it some information about the destination. So which Hyper-V host is this going to end up on? So where do I want this all to go? And let's see here. So again, which machine, credentials, and then here, a UNC path for the converted virtual hard disk. This is not the most optimal way necessarily to run through this workflow, but this is the way the tool does it. So it's going to copy them to that temp folder first, and then once they're converted, it'll put them on the share. And you can see there I've got the choice of whether I want this to be fixed or dynamically expanding. Again, up to you. And this should get us to right up to the end. So I'm not going to click convert here, but there's a little warning there. So this particular VM does not have a lot of video memory. Or wait, it has, yeah, it'll be limited to 4 on the conversion. That's just a warning, it's not gonna stop anything. So anyway, that's just a list of all the particulars about this conversion. If we were to move forward with it, I'm going to stop it there and cancel. But the thing to remember about this is the UI. You click a VM, you click next, and then you step through that process. And when that machine's done, well, you go back to the list, you get another one, step through the process again. And you can't queue them up in this tool. You can't multi-select. You just take one, convert it. And so as Matt said, this is perfect if you're just trying to test to make sure that things work as well as we say they do on Hyper-V. Perfect way to do that.
Yep. Exactly. So that was just a very quick demonstration of just stepping through that wizard. And you can run that on your client machine. You can put that on one of the servers to handle that conversion if you want. So some of those key things, it's supported and it's free. So you can download it off the web. And if you have a problem with it, you can get in touch with Microsoft about that. It converts to 2012. So it will convert from VMware infrastructure over to Hyper-V 2012. Okay, so it's going to allow you to try out your existing workloads on the latest Microsoft Hyper-V hypervisor. It will convert and deploy those virtual machines, but it can also do just the disks.
Yes,
it does,
can.
It
right.
Doesn't have to do the full VM. If you want to just convert virtual disks, you can do that as well. And it is scriptable, and we'll learn a bit more about that as we go forward as well, how we can start to scale this out. Now, it supports operating systems inside your guest of up to 2008 R2, so it doesn't support 2012 today. But it does support all of the latest OSs up to 2008 R2, both on the server side and some of the client OSs as well. Okay? And it is a very easy process to get going with. And people can take advantage of it to quickly convert those small numbers of VMs if they see fit. But how do we start to scale this out? You know, how do we start to run this if we've got tens or hundreds of virtual machines? You know, what is our process there? What can we really do to help accelerate and scale that process even further for you? And that's where we bring in a new release that we're about to bring to market called the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter Automation Toolkit. And Mark's going to take us through what that looks like, what the experience is, and some of the key features and capabilities of that. And then we'll explore some of the other options that are out there in the infrastructure as well.
Right. So as I was, hang on a second, just leave it for a bit.
Okay.
As I was contemplating this demo early this morning, very, very early this morning. Went to see what day is today and why is today important historically. So anybody else have this problem that you have to go look at what today in history was? Anybody know what today in history is? It's kind of an important date for American history. So Matt, you're off the hook.
Yep, I have
no
idea.
Answer.
Thank you.
Anybody? 1865? You had to do this in school, seriously. No history nerds, really? The Civil War, yes. Today was the day where General Robert E. Lee surrendered his sword and his army to Ulysses S. Grant at Appomattox, thereby ending the Civil War. Now, why mention that? It was a muddy field. General Lee was dressed up in his finest. Ulysses S. Grant was in his muddy suit. But the war ended there because Grant and Lee agreed it did. Not that Lincoln and Davis agreed that it did. The army stopped fighting. And what that meant was the battles were decided in the trenches, and that's where you guys are. So the war of virtualization that's going on, these are the tools that are going to help you figure out whether or not it's worth going to Hyper-V. So we need your help in the trenches to make sure that when the time comes, the battle's already been decided, and whether the people at the top care, it's done. So we hope you have the tools and the power to do that as we move forward. Another odd fact, Ulysses S. Grant's birthplace is right down the street from my house, so there's that. He actually wasn't named Ulysses, too. Another curious fact. So we're going to talk about the mat, not this mat.
Yeah, it's only single T.
Yeah, one T mat, which is an acronym for the MVMC, which is another acronym, Automation Toolkit. And I actually posted this on the Building Clouds blog yesterday, so if anybody's heard of it beyond my team, I'm kind of surprised because it's only been out there for literally a few hours. But what it is a series of PowerShell scripts that I wrote to help automate the MVMC EXE. So what I showed you before was the full UI. Now there's an executable that goes along with it, and it asks for kind of a big, long file name or parameter path, blah, 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 all those things that we have to give it in the UI. Basically, I have to show up on the command line, and that's a bit of a bear. So what I wanted to do was kind of walk you through a quick demo of this, and then we'll talk about this in much more detail as we go. But let me start by firing this up. And what I have at this point is a clean environment, at least I hope so. So what I want to do is collect from the VMware environment. Now, the MVMC EXE doesn't do this for us. That's one of the features of the UI. So we have a script that actually goes out, and it takes advantage of PowerCLI to talk to the VMware side, interrogate it essentially for that same list that you saw before, and then populate it to a database.
So that would be a prerequisite to have installed in the VMware environment.
Yeah, I'll talk about prerequisites as we go forward. But yes, cool. Having PowerShell or PowerCLI is certainly going to be one of them. Having a whole mess of VMs is probably another one, because this is all about doing a lot of VMs at the same time. So this is hanging in real time. So, whoops. That was a good pause, just long enough for it to close. So yeah, that actually went out and got my environment back. And what I'm going to do now is have a look at what it found. And there's already one out there, so I'll delete it. So if you look at that list, you should see some of the same names that you saw in the previous list. It's the same, hopefully exactly the same. And what I want to do is...
And it automatically excluded those ones that it couldn't convert in that
list. It did, yeah. Right. Yeah, well, like I said, we'll really dig into this. But what it produced was this little file for me. So I want to, just to kick this off, I want to throw two VMs at it. And then we'll start talking about how it works, let those run, and then we'll throw some more at it down the road here. So what I did was just chop the list down so there's only two VMs in it. Saved it, I think. Yep, okay. And now I'm going to go back to my PowerShell script and update my database. So I see that two machines were added there. I can double check. Yep, there's two there. And then I'm going to bail out of this. And kick off a conversion slightly differently than I will later. So kind of showing off two different ways to do this. So over on this side, I've got a loop running that's showing the machines that are out there and ready to convert. And as this fires off, you'll see that it's going to go and grab up a couple VMs and start those conversions more or less with a click of a button. But I wanted to get those going so we have something to look at kind of as we move forward. So let's talk about...
This one. Oh. There you go. it. It's done. Yeah.
There we go. So let's kind of step and look at the overall architecture. So to begin with, well, you need the server from the other guys. You know who. And the very first step that's going to happen is what we just saw there. So the Power CLI script is going to go out and collect all the VMs that it can from VMware. So that's done in a PowerShell script, and I'll probably say this a bunch, but one of the beauties of this thing is it's all PowerShell. So if you don't like the way I did it, and I'm by no means a developer, fix it, you know, change it, make it your own. So anyway, what this does is it goes out, gets that list, and then it's going to take that list, and it's going to pump it into a SQL table. This can be SQL Express. If you've already got SQL up and running, you can throw it at that. Doesn't make any difference, but the free version absolutely works, and that's what I'm using here. And it does that through a stored procedure, so there's a little bit of a SQL setup file that you just basically click on it, run, it'll set up the three tables that it wants, and that stored procedure. And that stored procedure is going to move the data into the table, and that's really going to be kind of the authoritative source from here out. So before we do that, we want to make sure a couple things. One, the VM's running, and the ones that we want have tools on them. Otherwise, just like the MBMC tool didn't see them, we're going to exclude them. In fact, Power CLI is not going to see them either. If the machine's not on, Power CLI won't see it. And if tools aren't there, they're not managed on that end, we can't see them either. So make sure everything that you want to convert is up and running, have that drawn into the database. And what we did from there was we created a text file. And I'll go back through this again, but what I did quickly was bring up that text file, and I scrubbed a bunch of stuff out of it because I didn't want it to convert them right this second. So one of the things that you're going to have to get used to with this tool is the idea of a batch, for lack of a better word, of virtual machines. So how many virtual machines do I want to convert start to finish with nobody stopping in the middle? If that's all of them, cool. But for most of us, it won't be because we've got windows that we need to work in, and there's probably a reasonably finite number of machines that we want to push through there, 20, 30, whatever, somewhere in that range, something manageable by you. So you take that list, get rid of the ones that you don't want to go in this batch. You can also order the list. So if you need VM 16 to go first, put it at the top of the list. It'll respect that when you push it back to the database. So once you've done that, you've reordered the tables, then you can kick off the actual conversion. And that's done through PowerShell. And we'll dig quite a ways into that. But what happens is, we go out to the database, we get the next available record, we pass it out to the engine, MBMC, the command line, and then basically from there, we do a couple things. We start to watch what it puts out in terms of output. So I know a couple of you have used MBMC. Has anybody ever used the EXE, the CLI version of that? Nobody, yeah. That's all right. Why would you? There's a wizard. the EXE does not put out what we would like to call output, like at all. It says starting, and then it says done. So in terms of visually, there's not anything at all to look at. So what we do is we kick off kind of a helper script that goes out and looks at the log file that it produces, and we try to translate that into something that's understandable to you. So you'll see as we switch back to the demo, but one of them is at stage 2 now, downloading VM disks, so that's a little more user-friendly than, nothing, or having to crack open that log file and trying to figure out where it is at this moment. So all that's going on, we're just trying to keep track of this executable, what it's doing, what it's producing as output, and then, of course, ultimately, it'll put that on to the Hyper-V server, and we'll go off, get the next one, that sort of thing. Now, we can do this through the UI one at a time. Through the mat, we can do this 3 at a time. Well, maybe more, but I haven't seen any real performance gains after the third VM. Things start to slow down a little. So the first VM will go in 20 minutes. If I do two VMs, it might take me 28 minutes. 3 VMs takes me 40 minutes, and then after that, I don't know that I'm getting any performance improvements. So we can do parallel conversions to a reasonable limit on the same machine. But don't order yet. we can also kick these off on helper servers. So other servers that happen to have the MAT scripts on them and the MBMC executable, they can take the load as well. So one of the things that I did when I converted this was I told it to only use my local machine and not to use any of my remotes so that the next time I show it, it looks cooler, mostly. So, well, I won't get into too far into how that works, but let me jump back here to
blue one. There again.
See where we're at. So if we look at this log file, you can see that it ran, found a couple of VMs, and then it basically said, hey, that's as far as I need to go for the moment. So what I want to do is run this again and kind of walk you through it a little more slowly. So there's three options here at the main menu. Collect virtual machines, manage the list, and then actually convert. So I've already done the collection. I don't need to do that again. So I want to do some list management. And I could go out to that file now and update it, but I don't really remember all the names of the servers, and I'll probably type them wrong. So I'm just going to recreate the list. You see that it goes out. It sees that I already have a list. Make sure that I want to kill it. So I do. And now I've got a new list. And there's a little bit of instruction in there, too. So if you weren't in this session, it really tries to walk you through this as best it can. There's also a README and all those good things. But basically, this is telling you this is the file that you should go look at and monitor or modify it accordingly. So I'm going to go and just take from 2 to 16. I don't know, how many is that? Let's count.
1, 10. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10.
All right, so that's more than we can hold at capacity. So what the configuration I have at the moment is three servers with three maximum VMs running at a time. So we should be able to run 9 simultaneous conversions if everything goes to plan. So this is more than it can hold because there's two running already. So we should have some that are just kind of sitting there waiting to go after this. So once again, I would need to update the list. So tell the database that read from that file. So it's pulled all those in to the queue. And if I pop back out to my monitor, we should see that it's already, yep, there it goes. So it's pulled in all that data. Groovy. And if I wanted to double check, I could do that here. It looks like it's good. So from here, I'm going to go back out to the main menu and hit this C. I mean, there's not really anything else to do. So it shows you a list of what's running and what's about to run. And now, because I ran it this way, you see that it's starting a process on server 5. I'm on 99. So it's kicking off on server 5. If you see on the second PowerShell window, 5 just picked up 3, 003, and 5 should pick up 2 more, depending on how the refresh cycles go. In the meantime, we're going to move to server 100, ask server 100 to start picking up its fair share of the load. So we should see there's 2 5s in there now, 3 5s in there now. Doo-doo-doo. 10 seconds doesn't seem like a lot when you're sitting at home.
So in theory, you could scale this out to how many converter servers?
As many as you feel are reasonable.
And these could be VMs themselves?
These are VMs in this case, yeah.
So you could just have a conversion server that's just a workhorse of...
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be some practical limitation because all of these right now are pointed back at server 99, so they're all sending their VM conversions to server 99. So server 99 is going to become a little disk intensive down the road here, maybe 20 minutes or so from now as they start pushing files to it. So as long as you're willing to manage the converters to the host that they're going to go to, so maybe, you know, 3 servers to 1 host or whatever, then, yeah, you could scale out as far as you reasonably think you need to go. Mm. So let's see. I've got 100, 100, 100, 3 of those, 99, 99. I've got 3 99s, 3 5s. So I don't know if that's a good blackjack hand. Oops. Oh. That's not. That's snake eyes. Dope. Good time, though. Questions? I'm going to dig down into the architecture a little deeper. So I guess it's kind of worth mentioning while I'm kind of stalling for time here that I posted this on Technic Galleries. It's on the Building Clouds blog. We've got the links in here. But this is basically something I did. So it's not a product, it's just a toolkit. But if it was a product, I would have been the product team, the QA team, the dev team, and the guy who got drinks at the end of the day or whatever. So it's just one person's work. Just shows you what you can do. And the beauty of having it out on the blog and on TechNet is if you guys find that there's things that you want to improve on it, send that back. And we're certainly, I mean, I'll keep iterating this, obviously, as time goes on. This isn't looking so hot. But because it's PowerShell, it's about as easy to extend as we could hope to extend. Security device. Luckily, Matt's brought tap dancing shoes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so as we go forward here, I'll continue to add features, but I'm really hoping that there's feedback from the community about what to do next.
So let me go back to the slides.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, let's talk about the workflow anyway. It is going on in the background, trust us. We just can't see it. So it's good to have slides. So I made this this workflow diagram up over the last Friday because I was running into a logic problem and I didn't understand it thoroughly. So I made a workflow and it was about twice as big as this. And then I realized that I could trim it down. So I did and greatly simplified it. But one of the design constraints that was put on me by my boss was keep it simple. So it doesn't have a UI, right? It's just PowerShell. There's a couple commands asking you for information, and then it goes off and does everything. You saw that script that I had running. There's the master script itself. The main script will give us back status of where, what's the best word? The control machine is, the machine that you started everything on. It'll show you where it's at, but it's not keeping track of everybody else's, so because that log would be essentially impossible to read. So we get that, and when it's done, it'll just say, hey, if you want to go see more, you can go and run this looping log, and it'll just keep showing you what's going on. So that's running across everything, and that's just really to keep it pared down to its absolute minimum. And along those lines, I tried to pare this down. So what we've got here are the different functions that are inside PowerShell. So when we hit start the last time I did it, that called off the start remote section. So the start remote section goes out and interrogates an XML file, which I would be showing you now if I could, which is called variable.xml. And this is where you keep all of your information relevant to the conversion. So server names that you want to be helping you, so the helper machines, your username and password, your the accounts for the VMware side, obviously, and file locations, things like that. So it's basically just fill in the blanks in that file, and it's going to go from there. So start remotes goes out and interrogates the XML file to see how many remote servers you've got listed. And then what it does is it opens up a connection to the remote and then starts up task scheduler and basically says, here, I want you to start the PowerShell command on your side now with these parameters, which is none because they've got all their own XML files, so they're just going to pick it up from there. So basically, it's just going to kick that off. And what that does is it enters on the convert point. So where start remotes runs all the locally, it starts all the remotes, and then it starts the convert cycle. All the remotes are going to start at the convert point. So they don't try to start their own remotes or anything. They're just, everybody begins at convert. And what convert does is it checks to see how much capacity the server has relative to what you've told it it can run. So if I said 3 is the maximum, it looks and it sees it has 0 or 1 or 2. It'll move forward. If not, it'll loop. And there's a delay in there of a minute. You can alter that to whatever you see fit, depending on how long it takes to convert things and how big of a log you're willing to tolerate. Because every minute right now, it'll write and say, hey, we're at capacity, writes another line and moves on. But once it's come through its cycle and goes, hey, there's a free slot, and the way that it's determining that is based on whether or not the database tells it there's a free slot. So as these are converting, they're writing back to the database saying, hey, I'm in this stage, that stage, and then once it's come to the end, that'll clear out that slot. So once we've done that, we move down to get unassigned. So get unassigned is the function that calls, again, the database to see who's left to convert. So who's in the batch, wherever we are in this batch, it'll go get me the next one. So get me top one from the VM queue, where priority is next in line. So again, respecting that list, if you provided a priority, it'll respect that. If there isn't anything, then we're done. If there is, it'll go ahead, pull that record, start the process locally, and that process is also going to start the log monitor locally. So this is what's going to happen again and again. So at that point, it goes back to the convert, checks to see if there's capacity. If there is, goes to get the next one, and it'll just keep iterating that until you run through the entire list. So while I've been gabbing on, I should probably try to reconnect again. Oh, put the pressure on me.
Sorry.
Hey, if it happened to Brad, it can happen to all of us.
Local security authority cannot be contacted.
He's not liking that. Let me see if we just see if DA will do its job. Really risking it. Anybody have any questions while we're stalling for time?
Nope, so far.
Wow, we're thorough.
You've got action on your DA.
Oh, good. I bet it wants a password, too.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
So the question was, how do you take care of the IP addresses as part of the migration?
So the MVMC tool does not handle static IP from one side to another. So it'll create a NIC on the other side, but it's not going to bind the original information to it anyway. So that's one of the things that down the road, because this is PowerShell, we can extend PowerShell. So this is just version, 1.3, but this is the first version that I've released. So down the road, that's definitely something that we're going to add to this functionality-wise, because right now we're just passing it off to MVMC, and once it's done, we move to the next one. But we certainly have the ability to keep going and to go out to the Hyper-V server and then say, match the configuration. In fact, one of the things that we did was in stage one, where we collect that data from VMware, we're pulling in IP addresses because we had the forethought to do that. So even though we're not using it in this version, down the road we are going to do that. So
pulling that from VMware tools, storing it, and then
So it's in the database. If we were to look out there right now, we would see the database has that data. Let's try the other smart card. So, yeah, I mean, a great question. That isn't something MVMC does, but that doesn't mean it's not something that the MAT can do. So we can extend the MAT to do that as we move forward. Well, yeah, there's a manual step at the end then to reconfigure your IP if it was manually set, yeah, if it was static.
I don't think that's going to connect. You about to slide?
Yeah, I don't have a whole lot more slides. I was trying to do a lot of demo. We can talk about the key features of this in the meantime. It says connecting. So one, just like the MVMC itself, this is obviously free to use. You grab it off TechNet, pull it down, use it. It's easy to use. So if you don't know anything about PowerShell, you can still use this, right? It's just open up the XML file, fill in the blanks, and run it. It does everything that we could think of to make it easy for you. So if you didn't run it as an administrator, it checks, it'll elevate itself, kill itself, and then start again with an elevated privilege. You know, it does all those things that we could think of. If you type the wrong command in, it'll spit back the help, all that kind of stuff. So if you're really unfamiliar with it, that's okay. But it is driven by PowerShell, so a lot of PowerShell knowledge in the world, a lot of experience. So there's people who know it far, far better than me. So we'll be able to continue to expand on it. The SQL Express database, so again, free version. It's all about not having to own anything outright to make this work. It supports multiple concurrent conversions per server, and it scales horizontally across multiple servers. So those are all, as we saw, we got up to 9 going right then. Extensible, customizable. It also provides simple reporting and management, so it's not something I was able to show you yet, but there's a couple of commands in there that will let you clean up the database. Again, if you're not familiar with SQL, you don't want to know anything about SQL. You just say, hey, clean up the table for these records if something goes wrong. It's got a feature to do that. It'll clean up the whole database. It'll purge the database. There's all sorts of options in there around keeping maintenance up in where it should be. There's also reporting features. So if you want to see all the machines that are out there, all the machines that are out there but aren't marked as supported, all the ones that are marked as supported and are done, the ones that aren't done, you know, I mean, like all the different ways you want to slice and dice that, CSVs will be popped out, pull those into Excel, and mash them up any way you like. And of course, you can download it. So grab the slide, or go to Building Clouds. It was the last post as of a few hours ago. I don't know if it's still the one on top, but just check for migration, Mark.
Now, this was just one example of a tool that you could use and automate now to convert from VMware to Microsoft. But there are other alternatives out there in the market that are produced by third parties that you can take advantage of. Some free, some have a cost associated. So take a company like Five9, for instance, with their easy V2V converter. That will provide similar functionality to that of MVMC and allow you to convert virtual machines from VMware to Microsoft. But there's an alternative solution from the likes of DoubleTake, with DoubleTake Move, where they will convert virtual machines at scale from VMware to Hyper-V and give you almost like a warm migration to shift from one location to another.
I was going to say, do we want to talk about cold and warm?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I blogged about this a while ago, and I'm sure you've all read it, but worth repeating. So all the tools that Microsoft provides are what we consider cold migrations. So the machine is going to need to go offline during the conversion, and that's when we move the bits off and convert the disk and spin it back up on the other side. So it needs to be offline for as long as the conversion itself takes, which can be anywhere from 10 minutes to, you know, 45 minutes or longer, depending on how the disks are. So those are technologies that we call cold because it's got to be offline. So you lose time to that, and there are other tools out there like double takes, which are warm, which is to say, in their case, they install an agent, right?
And
the agent's
the VM,
actually
yeah.
writing bits back out the whole time. So what it can do is have everything converted except the last little bits that need to happen before the shutdown. So all you have to do is shut the machine down, and at that point, bring it up on the other side, and all the bits should be synced. So there's a reboot involved. I don't think we're ever going to see a hot migration because they're just technologically they're very different beasts, and I don't see that happening. But there are solutions out there that are warm. We don't have one at this point, but just so I mean, if you absolutely have to have something done in a very very short time span, and I know hosters have this problem a lot, those tools will help.
Yeah, and there's also solutions from vendors out there that are starting to accelerate the different components of the conversion. So, for instance, the conversion of the actual configuration file of a VMware VM to a Microsoft VM is very quick. It's just a descriptor, it's metadata, it's an XML file. The bit that takes the time and is typically quite intensive on the system is the conversion of the storage, the disk, converting from the VMDK to a VHD, VHDX file. And in that case, our storage vendor partners like NetApp as an example, are doing some cool stuff there around harnessing the power of their filers and the power of their SANs to handle a conversion, where they can do it on the SAN dramatically quickly.
Dramatically.
Literally.
In seconds.
Reducing the time from potentially very long minutes or hours to just seconds and minutes. It's incredibly quick because they're using the power of their storage array to clone those blocks rapidly without needing all of the time it takes to go through the conversion normally. So if you associate that as part of a broader automated script that's converting the config files across, including the IP address side of things that was raised, that whole disk conversion underneath is incredibly quick. And that's specific to NetApp as an example. But I'm sure there are other storage vendors out there working on similar kind of extensibility to enable you to convert those different blocks, which essentially they are, across to a different format. Are we any good on the VPN?
No. I do have a copy locally, so I can at least show you some of the files. Maybe give me
okay,
a
yeah, that, I think that'd be useful.
Let me obstruct as much of my desktop as I can.
Yeah, hide those icons.
Okay, so anyway, if you were to download the mat, this is what you get back. So you see there's four PowerShell scripts in that list. There is an XML file and a SQL file and a README. So basically, you run the setup mat SQL file. So you open up SQL Studio, load this file, and hit the exclamation point. That'll create your database, and you're done with that. So that's really as difficult as it is. Step-by-step instructions in the README, so no worries there. And then there's the variable file. So the variable file contains the following information. So the log path, this is one of the, again, we're working with the MVMC tool, so we have to kind of conform to what it does. And one of the things that it does is it writes its output to the user's temp folder. So you see there I have a value in there as C users, username, app data, local temp. So that's where MVMC is going to write data no matter what. We can't stop it. It's not a configuration option in this version. So we just need to know who's going to be running this and where their temp folder is so that we can monitor the output of that, the log file. Your SQL server, you need to know where that is. And that little loop that was running, that was how many rows do you want to see in that loop is show rows, so if you want more than 30. Then there's the scheduling credentials on the Windows side. So someone who has the right to schedule tasks and their password, the Hyper-V data here. So the share, remember the we walked through the wizard. The wizard wanted to know where the share was, so this is where the share is. The actual target host, so that can be FQDN or IP. And then two options here for source power and target power. So again, do I want both VMs off on, one off, one on, most likely? Those are the configurations that you want to run through there. And then kind of the same thing on the Hyper-V side. So where's my ESX or vSphere host? What's the username and password for that? And then for the guest machine. So with the exception of the scheduling stuff, this is all getting baked into that massive command prompt. So the all this data gets pulled in, and it's isolated to one XML file, so it's easy to lock up.
So essentially, this is the only thing that you would really need to edit.
Yes.
To make use of this tool.
Exactly.
Right.
And then if I've got more than one server, I would basically take this section here, take it out of the comment. And put one in for each server that I want to run remotes through.
And the prerequisite on those remote servers you've already installed?
You've installed these files.
And NVMC.
And NVMC, yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, this doesn't require, those don't require PowerShell. That's only during the first initial collection. They don't require anything special. I mean, SQL is going to happen through the PowerShell script. So yeah, it's all done there. In terms of the actual scripts themselves, I'll show you the main script. There's about 2,000 lines of PowerShell total. 1,000 of them happen in the function file. But this is the main script. And so there's a couple things in here that you can change, but you don't have to. So I set the queue length to 2 out of the gate just so that you're not running into any performance issues. So this will max out at 2. You want it to go higher, move it up. I don't recommend going higher than 3, but it won't break anything. It just won't go any faster than not moving it above 3. So up to you. Where you want to install it, so if you don't put it in C:\mat, you can put it wherever you want. Same thing with the XML file. It just needs to know where those things are. And then from there, everything kind of gets its path based on things before it. There's lots of other options in here, like if you had a problem and you emailed the migration mark and said, hey, what's going on? I would say, turn your verbose logging up to 7. So there's all sorts of things in here that we can edit, but that you don't need to edit out of the gate. And and then from there, it's really a simple script. We're checking our elevation. Sounds weird in the high Sierras, but our PowerShell elevation. Verifying the XML is valid and good, loading up those values. And then basically, if we're bringing up the options, these are the options that we have. So there's a menu, global convert, a convert, and then lots of other functions here around reporting and things like that. So this script is relatively simple and straightforward. I won't bother with the functions because every function that we call is stuffed into the function script, so it's pretty big. But logging and convert are also relatively straightforward, and those are, the helper scripts. So the convert script is actually going to go out, fire off the conversion, and what it does, I don't know if anybody noticed it, but there were PIDs in that list, so process IDs. One of the things that we track in the database is the PID for the running conversion in the event that you need to kill it. So if you're like, holy crap, it's like 8 a.m. and I didn't realize it was 8 a.m. I need these VMs to come back up. So I got all the PIDs right there. I can go kill all those processes on all those boxes because they're running through Task Scheduler, you know, on a box, and so you're never going to find that window because it doesn't really exist anywhere that you would ever be able to see. So if you don't have the PID, you'll really be lost without that information. And again, same for that logging script, because MVMC produces its own log file, and it's somewhat arcane. We've gotten the ability to figure out what their exit codes are and what their stages kind of translate to in simple terms. So in 1 through 6 steps, this is what the process would look like. And so we report all that back out to the database. So yeah, short of jumping back to the conversion.
You can keep trying. So, to bring the session to the close and have some time for Q&A and stuff, what we've shown you here is an indication of just what you can do. You know, there are tools within System Center to help you convert. VMM will do it standalone in the same way that MVMC will do it, one at a time. And when we get to that end wizard, we can harness some of the PowerShell that VMM exposes to automate that process if we want to. If we wrap that with Orchestrator, then we've got a really granular and powerful automation solution for converting at scale a number of virtual machines from one platform to the other.
Hey, I mean, it's worth mentioning, too, that in my former life, I was Automation Mark, and now I'm Migration Mark. You try to call me Migration Mark, and it's not going to work. But yeah, I spent many years working at Opalis before it was acquired and with Orchestrator along the way. So I certainly made sure that there was one of the switches that you can pass to this is an Orchestrator-friendly option so that you can convert through Orchestrator if you wanted to. So you don't need to go through that that UI if you really just hate UIs, because that's, well, that, if you hate UIs, this is as minimal as UIs you're going to get, but sorry.
But if you've not got that investment in System Center, you've not got Operation, you've not got Orchestrator or VMM, then you can harness the Microsoft Virtual Machine Converter, which is free, just to download and start to convert some of your VMware VMs to Microsoft to test the water, see what those workloads run like. But then if you do want to scale that out, using the MVMC automation toolkit, you can do that. Just by some simple entry of information, as Mark's shown, and a few tweaks to the variable files, and creating a couple of those converter, those remote machines, you can scale this out pretty well and start to see multiple conversions simultaneously as batches, as Mark said, to help you move your workloads in a more efficient and effective way. And it's going to automate that. It's got the relevant error checking to ensure that if something does go wrong, it's going to help you out. And it's simple in its usage enough to enable you to get going very, very quickly. Now, there are people migrating, as we saw. Companies like Pella, companies like Domino's, Acer, Apartments.com, they're moving for different reasons, for cost reasons, for advanced management that's provided by System Center. There are a number of different reasons why people are going to move. Automation, integration with other third-party management tools provided by System Center as well. As we said, you can use VMM, either the V2V or the P2V. Remember, I could do P2V, even though it is a virtual machine, and I can wrap that with Orchestrator and do some cool stuff there. But as we said, MVMC, a free solution to convert without System Center, and it can be scaled and accelerated through the MAT tool. Now, you can read all about this at that link, so aka.ms/buildingclouds, and there's loads of cool posts on there, one of which is relating to MVMC, the automation toolkit. But there's another on there called the PowerShell Deployment Toolkit, which is incredibly useful if you do want to deploy System Center and test it out in your environment, because number one, it will go ahead and download all of the System Center bits from the web for you, and then number two, it will create the VMs ready to run the System Center components. And then number three, it will install and configure all of those System Center components within the virtual machines and connect them together, configure SQL, and do all the cool stuff, which within a couple of hours, you're ready to go with a full System Center infrastructure just by these PowerShell toolkits. So the PowerShell Deployment Toolkit can help you deploy System Center quickly. The MVMC Automation Toolkit can really help you accelerate conversion of VMware virtual machines across from one to another. Have we connected now?
No.
No? All right. So hopefully that's given you an indication of what we can do. And this is an evolving process. And like Mark said, this can be very much community-driven. If you feel there's extensibility within the automation toolkit that you can add, specific to your needs or you think will benefit others, you know, feel free to add it and contact Mark and we'll feed that into the process. We want to help people migrate as quickly and as easily and as efficiently as possible. And definitely when you're on the show floor, you know, make sure you check out the other vendors who also offer solutions, like NetApp is a good example, DoubleTake as well. You know, we just want to help you get to where you want to go as effectively and as efficiently as you possibly can. So apologies again with the connectivity issues. I'm not sure if it's widespread or whether it's just centralized
Apparently it's widespread.
Right? But hopefully you found it useful and it's given you a little bit of insight into what we're doing in this space and what you can achieve. So with that, thank you very much for coming out this morning, and thanks to Mark as well, and have a good rest of the day.
Thank you.